Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
I don't see how the party that says it's the party of the family is going to adopt an immigration policy which destroys families that have been here a quarter century.
This is the epiphany moment. This is the road to Damascus moment for Republicans and conservatives. Newt Gingrich can possibly provide fodder for that epiphany or for that collective corporate epiphany on behalf of Republicans and conservatives.
I'm proud to say that I managed to get a doctorate in economics, get tenured at a major university, write two books, raise two children, eight foster children, and I have never read a single issue of Ms. Magazine.
If there's no teaching that man is utterly corrupt and deserving God's wrath, then there's certainly no room for the gospel.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
One thing you have to admit about Joel Osteen is he has managed to build on what had been, kind of only a foundation, a very well-laid foundation by many who had worked very hard in American Christianity to make it more accessible. He's managed to build on that in a way that no one else has. I just read this morning, I'm kind of slow on my news, about the sale of the Crystal Cathedral building in Garden Grove, California, to the local Roman Catholic Archdiocese. They've reached the point where they've got to sell their property. They are bankrupt. Well, you know, that place was the home of positive thinking, of the be happy attitudes from Dr. Robert Schuller. And somehow Joel Osteen has managed to tap into that for a new generation. The old generation that really bought into Schuller's message has kind of died off. That's evidenced by their financial woes. But Joel Osteen, with this message of happiness, has taken off in a way that, well, Robert Schuller could only have dreamed of. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, November the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be concluding our three-part weekly series reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Every Day of Friday, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. And you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is so wrong about just being happy, Brian?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, because that's the goal of Joel's book, is to get you happy. I mean, every day of Friday. And why does he want every day to be a Friday? Because generally people are happier on Fridays. And we ought to be generally happier people. Now, I think it's great to be happy, but there's some higher aspirations that I think we ought to have as people, and especially as Christians. Number one, we ought to be forgiven. And I think happiness then comes not as something that we're shooting for, but it almost comes as a byproduct of God's gifts. So that we're not aiming for happiness. We're not making our goal happiness. But we do, we make our aim the righteousness of Christ, his gifts, joy in his mercy. And happiness then comes as a result of the graciousness of God.
All right. As a general summary of how far we've come in reviewing this book, what's your general assessment up to this point before we move on to talk about, and I think this is going to kind of be the theme of our conversation, the way that Joel Osteen has become so popular is because the church has failed to preach rightly about what we were just talking about, the desire to be happy. How would you summarize the message of the book so far?
Yeah, that's good. I probably should have thought about that a little bit before we came on, but let me just wing it here. So Joel, first, let's just start with Joel's doctrine of man. His teaching is that man is inherently good. that you have the seeds of greatness on the inside. In fact, you have the capacity for God on the inside, and it gets awfully close to you have the capacity to create. In other words, you have some of God's own power inside of you. That's man's doctrine of, or that's Joel's doctrine of man. So no mention of sin, although we did find one mention of the word sin in his book, and that might come up later, we'll mention it, but it's not a good mention of sin. So man is not a sinner. Then that Joel's doctrine of God then is not in any sense Trinitarian, although he doesn't explicitly deny the Trinity, but there's no use for the doctrine of the Trinity. There's no practical sense in which he's Trinitarian. There, God is up there, distant, but waiting for you to have faith, which is some sort of power or right thinking, that then can tap into his gifts. The universe, and God included, kind of curves in on you, and goodness and blessing starts to come your way. So what Joel is teaching you to do in the book is to harness the blessings that God has for you by having a positive attitude and outlook on life, and then the blessings of God and the universe will flow towards you. His doctrine of Jesus, then, is an example of this. And his doctrine of salvation doesn't extend really much beyond the fact that God will give you promotion and increase in this life. That's about as good as it gets. That's kind of the end goal. That's what you're working towards in Joel's whole system.
Well, let's hear it from Joel himself. You mentioned before his anthropology, his view of man. Here he is laying it out.
In dealing with thousands of people over the years, one thing I can tell you is 99% of people are not bad. They make poor choices, but down deep they have good hearts. Most want to do what's right. And if you will see them through your eyes of love, you can be one of the ones to help them come up higher and still fulfill their God-given destinies.
Is that a biblical view of man?
No, that's the exact opposite. Now, although there's something there, because the our sinfulness, Don, and I'm not sure if we've talked about this. I'm kicking this around, though, so your help on this would be helpful also. But our sinfulness is something that we don't know. Our corruption is so deep that we don't know how bad we are. So if you're just getting your doctrine, like Joel says, from dealing with people, then you might think that most people are good. If you're getting your doctrine of how we are and how we stand before God just by looking at yourself, your only conclusion is that people are pretty good. But the Bible says really the exact opposite. No one is good, no, not one, says St. Paul, quoting the Psalms. Or remember how John said it, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. We make God into a liar. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that the confession, the sinfulness of man is a truth learned not from experience. I mean, you can learn that men make mistakes and that people aren't perfect from experience, but you cannot learn the depth of man's sin from experience. That's a truth taught only in the Scriptures.
And if my problem is, if my condition is I'm basically good, but I am prone to bad choices, then doesn't Joel's solution make perfect sense?
Oh,
if that's
yeah.
all the problem is.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, if you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. That's how Jesus says it. I mean, if you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. If you just make bad choices, then the solution is make better choices, chump. And that, I mean, that's what Joel says. Do better. See, if you don't have the doctrine of original sin as the Bible teaches you, that's as advanced a theology as you can get. Do better. And that's basically the summary of every non-Christian teaching in the whole world. Do better.
Well, let's hear again from Joel Osteen. Here he's talking about, and he's often been criticized for preaching a Christianity light. Here's his response.
She said, Joel, sometimes because you don't condemn people, others criticize you and say you're just preaching Christianity light. But she said, let me assure you, I lived under Christianity heavy for 42 years. I was broken. I was defeated. I was depressed. But today, I'm healthy. I'm happy. I'm whole. I'm helping others. She said, I will take Christianity light over Christianity heavy any day of the week. Friends, religion likes to beat people down. Religion will criticize you because you're not hard enough on others. But I love what Jesus said. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I don't want to beat people down. Life does that enough to others. I encourage you to be a healer and a restorer. Look for those you can lift up. Help them reclaim their joy, their happiness. You are a container filled with God. Release His healing wherever you go. And I can assure you, God's face will always shine down on you.
Well, there's enough there to occupy the whole rest of the hour, but with only a minute before our break, where would you begin with that Joel Osteen quote?
Well, look, you know, I don't beat people down either, but if it's what the Bible says, then that's what we teach, you know? I mean, it's not like we're going around deciding what the truth should be. I mean, the truth is given to us by the Scriptures. And if the truth is that we're a sinner, you're going to know it. I mean, it's like a doctor saying, look, I don't want to... The person might have cancer. I'm not going to tell them they have cancer, though. They might be sad about it. Well, you're not being a good doctor then, because the truth is they got cancer. And the truth about us is that we're sinners, which is why we need Jesus. It's not beating people down. The light yoke of Jesus is not that we're good people that have God inside. The light yoke of Jesus is that He forgives our sins. He carries our sins away. He delights in us and calls us His children by His mercy and by His grace. That's what we're after.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear more from Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, with responses and review from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Now, there's still something I want to pick up from on that last quote, and that is the whole Christianity light. I don't know, we'll see what Brian thinks, whether or not the real criticism that ought to be leveled at Joel Osteen is that he preaches Christianity light. The question is, does he preach Christianity at all? I mean, it's one thing to have a lightened up, watered down version of the Christian faith, but it seems to me, so far in our conversation, if you're not at least willing to admit that sin is our real problem and that we are lost and condemned apart from Christ in that sin, then starting off on that foot, I don't think you get to Christianity, or for that matter, any kind of true happiness that Joel promises. We'll be right back. Spread a little love and then we'll keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. Get a happy feeling when we're singing a song. Hello world, it's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, concluding a three-part weekly series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on that subject. One of the problems with Christianity Light, or I don't even know what to call what Joel teaches, whether it's Christianity or not, is that it often, just for the sake of broad appeal, neglects basic biblical teaching. You could read all of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, and not find anything on the basic teachings of Christianity, much less important teachings like baptism and the sacraments. Pastor Wolf Miller, before we go on, you were actually producing something that helps keep that basic teaching with respect to baptism alive. What is it?
You're nice to let me plug this stuff. I one of the things I think we're criticized, and maybe rightly for, is that sometimes we're too cerebral in our approach to these sorts of things. I mean, what Joel has kind of tapped into is this really, the lightness that he has is his writing. It's just, it's easy. It's not, you don't have to think too much about it. You can just cruise through this stuff. Well, I think that we, not that we need to produce things that are light, but we need to capture this ancient tradition of using the arts to teach, as well as our words and our writing, so that we can produce things that are beautiful, but they also extol God's gifts. A year or so ago, I was working on a baptismal certificate, and I wanted to use it here at Hope, and I wanted to be nice, something that people would just see and instantly say, this should have a frame around it and should be on the wall. But I didn't want it to cost $1 trillion or whatever. So we did it electronically. A friend of mine, Jason, and I put together an electronic baptismal certificate. Then we got an electronic confirmation certificate, a recognition certificate, and we just colorized the baptismal certificate. It looks marvelous. So the congregations can purchase it. We put the name there, so it's customized, and then you get it electronically, so you can type in all the information, and it prints out. Looks like it's printed by a professional printer, typeset and everything. And it's a one-time fee for the congregation. So $35 for the black and white, and $50 for the color. And so the congregations can print certificates as many as they need. I was thinking, Carrie and I always get a little Christmas gift for the congregation. And this might be something to consider for the pastors or even for the families of a congregation. You could get it for your congregation as a Christmas gift. It's not too much, but it should have lasting benefit. Hopefully not just in this life, but in the life to come as the children wake up and they see this reminder of their baptism hanging on their wall every day.
Folks, you can find out more about these baptismal certificates at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Now, before we go on, Joel's very clever. He's nothing if not clever, and he kind of creates this false dichotomy, or appears to, between Christianity light and what he will say Christianity heavy or religion. That's an interesting trick, but I'm wondering whether or not the real criticism of Joel's teaching is not that it's a lightened up version of Christianity, but that it's not a version of Christianity at all.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't want the law preached in a damning way. I want the law preached in an encouraging way. Well, the law it'll do its work no matter what. I mean, you just can't escape it. But that's what he's trying to do. I mean, his whole theology is trying to escape the law, because the law sits there and condemns man, and he wants to have man, extolled, the virtues of humanity and our God on the inside brought out. And that's right. That's not what Christianity teaches. I mean, you're 100% right in your assessment. Christianity teaches the depravity of man and then the saving work of Christ, the saving work of God in Christ, we could say. And Joel doesn't.
Here's Joel Osteen again from his latest book, Every Day Friday, offering some advice on how to deal with hurtful words.
Don't accept their hurtful words and what you can't do and what you can't become and that you're not as smart as someone else. Don't allow those lies to take root. You are not who other people say you are. You are who God says you are. And He says you are talented, you are creative, you are strong, you are anointed, you are determined. You're a victor, not a victim.
Is that what God says all the time?
I can't find it in the Bible. I don't know where He says it. It's not in the Scriptures. That's not what God says. God says you're forgiven, you know. We have the doctrine of justification, an imputed righteousness. The righteousness of God is given to us. This is not an imputed righteousness. This is like an imputed awesomeness. God says, you are really cool, Todd, and you're good looking, and you're strong. Don't let anyone tell you different. Well, what about forgiven? That's what I want God to say about me. And that's, by the way, what God does say in the Bible. You are forgiven. You're my child. I love you. I delight in you. He doesn't say anything about you're talented and creative and strong and determined. I mean, what if I'm not, for heaven's sakes? I'm totally untalented, totally uncreative, totally weak, totally undetermined. I couldn't set my mind on anything, and yet I can still be forgiven. That's what God says. He gives us the righteousness of Christ. This kind of putting words in God's mouth like this is really kind of ridiculous. It's not just ridiculous, it's dangerous.
Does it also explain why the cultural climate today is perfect for this kind of teaching of Joel Osteen's to flourish? Because we have spent, well, the better part of a generation telling ourselves, and especially our kids, this very, you're smart, you're good looking, it doesn't make any difference if it has any objective truth to it. You're talented, you can do anything you put your mind to. I don't know about you, Brian, but I learned a long time ago, I can't do anything I put my mind to. Because there's certain things I can't do. There's certain accomplishments I will never accomplish because I don't have the skills. I am not smart enough. Maybe I don't have the time left to me. There are limits on who I am and who I can be. And a man's got to know his limits.
Yeah, you're just dragging me down now, Todd.
But does it? Do you think?
According to Joel, I shouldn't be listening to you talk. But yo, that's right. I mean, let a man think rightly of himself. I mean, Paul gives that great advice. You know, don't think too highly of yourself. I wonder what Joel preaches on that text. You know, let a man not think more of himself than he ought to think, because this is what it is. You with your word, and you're not just supposed to think this, by the way. You're supposed to say this out loud. See, so you're speaking creativity and steadfastness and discipline in your own life by doing this sort of stuff. So there's no limits for you. I mean, if you are basically a god, then of course there's no limits for you, which is what Joel teaches. But this is you're 100% right. It's not what the Bible says. Now, can we encourage one another? And can we support one another? And can we, when someone's down, can we come to them with an encouraging word and help lift them up? And you know, when we teach our children, can we inspire them and help them to think creatively and to live as free people? Well, yes, we can and we should. But this is not to. We don't need to get into this kind of word. Making reality sort of kookiness to do it.
Our next excerpt from Every Day of Friday by Joel Osteen, he talks about his readers coming into faith.
I believe right now there's a cleansing taking place as you hear this. I can see through my eyes of faith toxic thoughts are starting to dissipate. I can see strongholds that have held you back for years being broken. I can see you stepping into a new freedom, rising to a new level. Shaking off negativity, coming into faith. I see you breaking free from condemnation, stepping into confidence. I see a mindset of poverty and defeat giving way to an abundant life mentality. As you keep getting rid of these toxic thoughts, God's going to take you places you've never dreamed of.
He actually makes a comparison there between detoxing the body of its various poisons and toxins and detoxing the mind of poisonous thoughts. What's he really talking about?
Yeah, that's so faith is that positive thinking. That's what, I mean, that's his definition of faith here. Just amazing. Just amazing. That's not at all what the Bible talks about faith. So faith is this kind of positive spiritual energy of your mind. And that's what's bringing, it's what's attracting blessings and happiness and all of this sort of stuff. I think when when he was seeing his people read this book and seeing all these things happen, he wasn't watching me read this book because, man, my positive thoughts were getting worse and worse. I mean, I didn't think too terribly, I didn't know much about this guy, Joel, before I read this book, but it just kept getting, I mean, the deeper we got into the book, the deeper he got into false doctrine.
Mark is listening in St. Louis. Thanks for waiting on the line, Mark.
Hey, Pastor Todd, you began the show by talking about Robert Schulder and how his audience evaporated, and I'm wondering if they maybe just got older. So I'm wondering what Joel Osteen would say to those who are getting older and facing the ailments of age and facing death.
Wow, that's a very, very good question. What do you think, Pastor Wolf?
I was listening to Joel preach, and he was talking about how he was he went to a class reunion, and a guy looked, and Joel, you know, he has positive thoughts about himself every day, he'll tell you, And I'm tall enough and strong enough and good-looking enough and my hair is nice enough and all this. And so as he was telling the story about how his old classmate said, Joel, I think you've grown 2 inches. So Joel's idea is, look, you have enough positive thoughts, you can even gain a couple inches. Although he admitted that it wasn't he that had grown 2 inches, but the guy had shrunk. But he talks about youth and vitality being accessible through positive thoughts. I think that's what he'll teach. I mean, it's going to be a painful thing to watch Joel grow old, I think, because at some point, this is, you know, your positive thoughts run out of momentum and meet the reality of aging.
We're concluding our three-part weekly series reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, here on Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. You know, I was thinking about Joel Osteen this weekend. I did a very foolish thing. I haven't done this. I do exercise regularly to try and stay ahead of the Grim Reaper if I can, which I can't, but you do what you can. I went out and I ran, which I haven't done in a couple years. I actually went out and ran, and I learned very quickly what the limits of my body are, and all the positive thoughts, which were difficult to have in the midst of the pain, all the positive thoughts in the world didn't make it any easier. Didn't take away the limits that are imposed upon me by, well, my body, my weakness, my ever-growing age. This positive thinking has nothing to say to even the basic realities of the human condition. We'll be right back.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Hey, St. Louis listeners, our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year, but you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Listen to what you want, when you want. Issues Etc.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Illinois pharmacists can practice with a clear conscience.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
6 years ago, the governor of Illinois issued a ruling that required pharmacies to fill prescriptions for emergency contraceptives, quote, without making moral judgments. Since then, two pro-life pharmacists have fought an extensive legal battle to save their careers and overturn the harmful rule. Recently, a circuit court ruled in their favor, a decision the pharmacist's lawyer called a very good thing, noting, the judge's decision makes clear that people don't have to give up their religion or check their conscience at the door to enter the healthcare profession.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're concluding our review of Joel Osteen's new book, Every Day of Friday, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We're only 5 weeks away from the end of the year, and we're a little less than $67,000 short of making budget this year. There's time to do it, but it really will take some considerable effort on our part and especially on our listeners' part. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Remember, no gift is too small, and for any size year-end donation, we're going to send you a CD of one of my Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons. You can make a secure online contribution at Issues etc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for helping us make budget in the next 5 weeks of 2011. All right, in our next excerpt from Every Day of Friday, Joel Osteen talks about his readers. I think we've already done this one, the readers coming to faith. Before we go on to that next cut here, Brian, let's discuss this notion that was brought up by the listener before the break when Mark called. He said, this really has nothing to say to people who are meeting with life's realities. We're talking about cancer, age. Someone loses their job, and you can sit there and think positive thoughts about yourself, but it doesn't pay the bills. Is this a basic problem with Joel's message, is it doesn't speak to the real human condition?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's right. Not even the real physical condition of humanity, but much less the spiritual condition of humanity. That's 100% right. So he'll tell stories of, you know, people who lost their jobs and things are going bad, and they started, you know, they're not going to let it get them down, and then now the Lord works some miracles. You see, that's what it's about. I mean, that's really who this is. This book is written for those people who are kind of down and out and need a miracle, need some sort of hope.
But he doesn't tell the other stories, though. The stories where someone prayed and thought great things about themselves, and they're still unemployed.
Yeah, that's right. No, of course not. Because that's evidence. And you see, he gets off the hook easy on this because that's evidence of that you didn't have enough faith. See, so there's always an out. If you have enough faith, miraculous things will happen to you. If you don't have enough faith, well, bub, you're just going to be where you are.
Here's Joel Osteen again on positive thoughts.
Those are all lies, and they are infecting your thinking. The way to get rid of those thoughts is to meditate on what God says about you. In other words, continuously have positive thoughts playing in your mind. I'm talented. I'm creative. I'm anointed. I'm equipped. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm disciplined. I'm free from every addiction. I walk in divine health. I have the favor of God.
Now talk about this, Brian, if you would, because you've mentioned it before. He isn't just saying, encourage yourself. He's saying that by repeating this to yourself, you will actually create that situation in your life.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what this—you know what divine health means?
No.
I don't know either. Apparently, Joel walks in divine health. Whatever that is, yeah. So you run these things. He you know, all of his the things that God says, all the God's word starts with I am, but it's not talking about the I am. It's talking about me. It's talking about this poor, you know, maggot-filled sin bag. I am the prosperous, disciplined, free from every addiction. I walk in divine health. I have the favor of God. Well, that last one I kind of like. I have the favor of God, but it's not because you're good. The favor of God is an undeserved favor because of what Christ has done. But never mind that. You're supposed to think of the good things, you know, meditate on good things, so you meditate on how good you are. Oh, boy.
Isn't he ultimately encouraging people to put their faith in their own words about themselves rather than, as he says, in what God says about them?
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, I think that's 100% right, Todd, what you say. But the problem with what Joel is that you have a very difficult time making a distinction between God's words and your words. So when he says, put faith in God's word, God says, I am talented. Well, you say, well, hey, that's my words. Well, they're divine words that you're speaking. You see what I mean? There's a blurring between you and God, and so there's certainly going to be a blurring between what God's words are and what your words are.
Mike listens in Kansas City. Thanks for waiting on the line, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, etc. It's a great resource. And, gentlemen, I want to ask you about this parallel that I'm going to make here, and maybe you can tell me what you think about it. This really seems like the education concept of secular humanism. I mean, throughout the course of history, secular humanism has said,
Basically, if we can educate people so they can lift themselves out of poverty, then they will become better people. And Joel Osteen kind of does that on steroids. He basically says, if we can just educate people to make the right choices, then not only they will lift themselves out of poverty and make themselves into better people, they may even do it in some mystical sense. And the point I want to make here is, isn't this really just like secular humanism in that your education becomes your messiah?
That's a very interesting parallel. What do you make of it, Pastor Wolfman?
Well, I think, you know what I was thinking when Mike was and thank you, Mike, when Mike was making that point, is that there's a sense in modern secular education that the wisdom and knowledge is inside of you, and the job of the teacher is to bring it out. So the classic model was you're empty and you come to be filled. The new model is that you're full and you come to be, I don't know.
Tapped.
Yeah, that's right, tapped. And that's exactly what Joel would think. It's in there, the power, the beauty, the talent, the whatever. It's in there. You just got to tap into it.
Brian, let's listen to, as you say, the only mention of the word sin from Joel Osteen's book, Every Day of Friday.
Notice how Gideon perceived himself compared to how God saw him. God said he was a mighty man of fearless courage. If God were to call your name today, he wouldn't say, "Hello, you weak worm of the dust. Hello, you failure. Hello, you old sinner. How's my loser doing today?" No, God would say the same thing to you. He would say, "Hello, Mary, you mighty woman of fearless courage. Hello, Bob, you mighty man of fearless courage."
What is Joel saying here?
Hello, you old sinner. He says God would not call you that. I mean, isn't that amazing? God would never come to you and call you a sinner. I mean, never mind that he does in the Bible, because that gets you down, you know? God's got to come with encouraging words. Well, look, when God comes and calls me something that I'm not, he's giving it to me as a gift. When God comes and calls me righteous and holy, it's because he is giving me his righteousness and his holiness as a gift, which is what he was doing to Gideon. But yeah, Joel here just sees it as in opposition to the kind of downer preacher of the law, that, or of, you know, of Christianity heavy, that wants to have everyone depressed all the time.
Does it go farther than that? I mean, if me saying of myself I am talented makes me talented, taps into my inner divine talent. If me saying I'm prosperous makes me prosperous and taps into my inner divine prosperity, whatever it is, then is Joel asserting that me saying I am a sinner makes me a sinner?
Yes, that's the danger. I mean, Joel is fighting negative thoughts. So he wants to... He wants to put a wall, a barrier around our minds and God's law, because if the law gets in there that condemns us of sin, then it brings to pass some sort of reality. You see, words have this inherent sort of power. So yes, I mean, in Joel's mind, if we go and say, "I'm a poor, miserable sinner," you are actually becoming a poor, miserable sinner by saying it. So you gotta cut those negative thoughts off and declare positive things, and that's what'll come to pass.
Well, this is where, in historic Orthodox Christianity, the need for the Savior is realized, in that whether I admit it or not, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. For Joel, I'm trying to figure out the math here for Joel. If I, by saying I'm a sinner, I make myself a sinner, it sounds like he's got no solution, not even in Christ, for that problem. You got to dig yourself out of that hole by saying positive things about yourself.
Yeah. He gives an illustration about it. You have a dirty, cup full of dirty stuff, and then you just let the clean water flow into it, and it flows in there long enough, and it cleans out the muck. So you have these. So you get these bad thoughts that you learned when you went to the Lutheran church that you're a sinner. They're going to stick around for a little while, but you got to pour even more and more positive thoughts in there to kind of dilute it and water it out and cleanse yourself of it.
And these are thoughts about yourself that, as you have pointed out, are, can we just call it delusional? About 30 seconds.
Yes. We don't need 30 seconds. Yes. It's delusional. And it's blasphemously delusional because it's anti-Christ delusional. I mean, if you can succeed in deluding someone to their own goodness, then you can also delude them to the fact that they don't need Jesus. And what you've succeeded in doing is created maybe successful, maybe prosperous, maybe very confident and good-looking and well-groomed Pharisees who want to crucify Christ, not come to him for help.
It's Monday afternoon, the 28th of November. We're concluding our three-part weekly series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on Joel Osteen's new book, Every Day of Friday. Do you care to react? Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or feel free to give us a call. This break is a great time to call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Any general question about the teachings of Joel Osteen, also welcome, since we're concluding this review of his book, Every Day of Friday, 1-877-623-6943.
Unto You, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The angel can tell those shepherds and tell us, this child has been born unto you. This child has been born for you.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
Never trust a smiling evangelical. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back. We're concluding our three-part review of Joel Osteen's book, Every Day of Friday, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for November is a Bible study book with a DVD that goes along with it. They go right together on the theme of witness, mercy, life together. These three biblical themes describe very well the life of Christians together, and we're really talking about the life of the church. It's a Bible study by Dr. Albert Kohler and an attendant four-part DVD teaching from the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison. Witness, Mercy, Life Together, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Witness, Mercy, Life Together, the DVD and the Bible study book, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Here's an email from Albert listening in Mission Viejo, California. Osteen's theology is a theology of glory, cloaked in a smile and a can-do attitude, the quintessential modern American religion. As a side note, says Albert, the irony in the bankruptcy of that bastion of positive thinking, the Crystal Cathedral, is inescapable. Is it a portent of things to come for Osteen's empire? Your thoughts there?
I'm no prophet, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure it matters because, you know, Luther said one time that for the pastor, you need to have good doctrine and good living. And you needed good doctrine for your friends. I'm sorry. You needed good doctrine for your friends, and you needed good living for your enemies. What normally happens in stuff like this is, so the Crystal Cathedral goes bankrupt, and now finally, you know, people can jump on the bandwagon and talk about how much of a mess it was. Well, it was a mess when it was doing its best. I mean, we should be in some way glad that it's bankrupt because the false doctrine that was going out of there is no longer going out of there. It's the same sort of thing when these false teachers, they're busy teaching all sorts of false doctrine, and then their lives come unraveled, you know? They get caught in some sort of scandalous sin, and then everyone jumps on the bandwagon. Well, they were more dangerous when they were living rightly and teaching falsely. So I don't know. I mean, it could be that Joel's empire will just expand for thousands of years until the Lord returns, you know, as far as we know, but it doesn't make his teaching any better. In fact, it probably makes it worse.
As to his appeal, Albert wonders whether or not really what Joel has tapped into is the quintessential modern American religion, a theology of glory, which you'll need to explain, cloaked in a smile and a can-do attitude, as Albert says. What is this theology of glory? Why is it dangerous?
Yeah, that language, by the way, the distinction between the theology of glory and the theology of the cross comes from some stuff that Luther wrote, 1518, the Heidelberg Disputation, and he contrasts the two, and he says a theologian of glory is one who's always looking for the hidden glory of God, and so their practice is always reciprocated in pomp and things like this. A theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is. A theologian of glory is looking for God in victory and in success. A theologian of the cross sees God's gifts in humiliation and in suffering, and in fact, ultimately in the humiliation and suffering of Jesus on the cross, and so that's Luther just about to get clear on the distinction between law and gospel in those theses. He's just right on the cusp of it, and that's what he's getting after. So when Albert says that Joel Osteen is a theologian of glory, he's 100% right. He is trying to in every way avoid suffering, not only to avoid our own suffering, but also ultimately and to the worst effect, to avoid the suffering of Jesus for us on the cross.
Let's listen to Joel Osteen, how he concludes his book, Every Day of Friday.
As I noted in the opening chapter, we all have the power to choose happiness each and every day. That doesn't mean we ignore our challenges or that we can always control everything that happens to us. But it does mean that with God's help, we can choose to respond to life's inevitable setbacks and hard times with a positive attitude. You have the power to focus on solutions, to surround yourself with supportive people, to rise above criticism, discouragement, and to put your faith and trust in God's plan for your life. Be happy with who God created you to be. My prayer is you will enjoy each day as His gift, that you will make every day a Friday.
All right, that's how he concludes the book with some snappy music on top just to
make sure. Yeah, I thought my phone started ringing.
No. So he just wants you to be happy, and you've got the ability to focus on solutions rather than problems.
Yeah, his words are a little bit different in the audio than it is in the text here. Here's the last sentence in the book. If you do this, I believe you will make every day a Friday. I mean, I think that's quintessential to what he's getting at here. This word dominates everything that he writes. If. So now happiness is in, it's all dependent on you. It's inside of you. You got to dredge it out. You got the power to do it, but you got to get after it. You got to do it. It's all on you. It's all on me to make myself happy. I can't control what's on the outside. I can control what's on the inside, and I got to tame those horses, and I got to get them obedient. It's like an obedient school for the emotions. You know, I got to send my emotions to obedient school, and now I can be happy every day. And there you go. That's what I got to say to you.
In the course of this review, you've had an insight here as to why Joel's teaching may be so popular, and you say really it's because the church, the Christian church, has failed to rightly teach about what you call properly ordered desires. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is something I was thinking about a bit before the book came, and then when I was reading it, the lights started to come on. I'm sorry I don't have this put together for you and for our people listening. I hope to get something more polished on this in the months to come. But there is a sense in which the Bible would have us rightly order our desires. In other words, part of living the Christian life is actually wanting what we need and not wanting the things that we don't need or that God hasn't given us. So we see that, for example, in the fall into sin, here the devil was tempting Adam and Eve to desire that which God had not given. And every sin really comes back to that. James will say, this is James 4:1, where do wars and fights come from? Don't they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So every sort of sin begins with a wrongly ordered desire or covetousness. But the Bible would actually teach us to what we ought to want. In fact, I think I was having a conversation with a guest that you have on your show all the time, Dr. Kleinig, a professor from Australia, and we were talking about this, and I mentioned it to him, and he says, "Oh yes, Brian, Luther talks about not only does he talk about having a rightly ordered mind, but he also talks about having a rightly ordered emotions or rightly ordered desires." And I said, "Oh, that's fantastic. Where?" And Dr. Kleinig says, "Everywhere," and then started talking about something else. But there's a great place where Luther does this. It's in the Large Catechism on the Lord's Prayer. When Luther takes up the Lord's Prayer in the Large Catechism, he says, before it's a prayer, before it's our words to God in our mouth, from our mouth to God's ear, it's first God's words from his mouth to our ears. And that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us what we need, for this life. You know, we teach the kids that for this life you need food and water, food and drink and shelter and things. Well, we need so much more than that. We need God's name to be holy. We need his kingdom to come. We need his will to be done. And then we need food and shelter and all this stuff, fourth petition stuff. We need forgiveness. We need God to lead us from temptation. And we need God to deliver us from evil. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us what we need, and in fact, he's rightly ordering our desires. He's teaching us what to want, what to desire, what we should be seeking after in this life. It's really quite marvelous.
All right, then, with only about 30 seconds, what's your bottom line, biggest concern with Joel Osteen's book, Every Day of Friday? 30 seconds.
Well, Christ died for sinners. That's what the Bible says. Joel would be looking around to figure out who then Christ died for, because he doesn't have any sinners. But we know in the Bible who Christ died for. He died for me. He died for you. He died for everyone listening. He, in fact, died for Joel Osteen and all of his followers in the church. He died for everybody because we're all sinners. If you don't have a sinner, then you don't have anyone for Jesus to die for, and the cross becomes nothing. But if we're going to say something fundamental, I mean, the very basic teaching of the Bible is this: Jesus died, and he better be doing something with that death, and he is. What he's doing, Todd, with that death is that he's rescuing us from sin and from death and from the devil, from the wrath of God that we deserve, from an eternal punishment, separation from him in hell. He is rescuing us and delivering us and saving us and forgiving us and winning for us the forgiveness of all of our sins, and he delivers that righteousness to us. That's what Jesus is doing on the cross. If you don't have sinners, you don't have a cross, and you don't have salvation.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. Thanks for being our guest. Thanks for all the time you put in.
You got it, Todd. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Joel Heck about Noah, remembered tomorrow by the church. Then on Wednesday, we'll discuss changes in the Roman Catholic liturgy. Dr. Paul Grimm will be our guest. Well, I guess it comes down to this. Does God want us to be happy? The answer is yes, he does. Happy on his terms, not on our terms. And happy the way only God can make sinners like us, alienated from him, dead in our trespasses and sins, ultimately destined without Christ for misery, an eternity of misery. He wants us to be happy in only the way that Jesus can ultimately bring us to that heavenly bliss and joy in the resurrection that is founded in his blood shed for us sinners at the cross and his resurrection from the dead. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.